Matt, are you receiving me loud and clear?
I've got you here, yes. Good morning.
You've got me here. That's where I like to be. Good man. Well, thank you so much, Matt, for joining me from what is hopefully vaguely sunny Herefordshire this morning.
Well, I'm in Wales today, so I'm just at work. We have got a little bit of drizzle here, unfortunately, but I'm hoping the outlook later on will be clearer.
So what you're saying is that you've been allowed across the border into lovely mid Wales, and you're doing your bit there.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so tell us then a little bit, first up, Matt, about where you work. I mean, I have told our lovely listeners a little bit earlier on some of your backstory, but it would be very, very good to hear it, as they say, from the horse's mouth. So give us a quick resume of your life story up until today.
Brilliant. Well, I was brought up in mid Wales, not too far from Brecon. It's a very lucky, lovely area.
Yeah, indeed.
So I've always been into music and things from an early age and playing guitar. So that part of my life led me down to Cardiff, where I did 3 years down there, a university course in popular music, which
Excellent.
Was great fun and really enjoyed spending time in the city. And then since then, I've moved back home, and I work at the old Railway Line Garden Centre, where I've worked for the last 17 years.
Wonderful.
That's where I've got a big passion for plants and everything outdoors. So that's really helped with my hobbies and things here at the Garden Centre.
So apart from talking about your books, then we ought to be able to talk to you about what's the right things or the wrong things to be planting at this time of year as well.
Yeah, well, I've got a page online which is on Instagram, Garden in the Country, where I try and share a few tips and advice there, because I do a lot in the garden at home as well as in work.
Well, I'm sure.
And the main aim really is to inspire everyone just to give it a go. I mean, it's a big topic, horticulture and gardening, but you don't know until you try, and the fun is in trying, I think, with gardening.
And of course, as has been told to us by so many of the experts over the years, that, I mean, you don't even just have to think about sort of traditional type gardens now, do you? I mean, it could be anything. I mean, even if you don't have much of a space for a garden, it could be sort of pots and hanging baskets and all that sort of stuff. But it's just great when people get out there and have a go, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, exactly right. And I mean, any space can be turned into a growing space. I think even a little windowsill is an ideal place for planting a few bits and pieces. And you can go from that right up to your big gardens. I mean, you can turn anything into a little growing space.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. And of course, allotments ought to be mentioned as well, because I know there are so many people who get so much fun out of sort of renting an allotment space and using it again for primarily, I suppose, mainly vegetables and stuff that obviously then you can have for the kitchen. But a wonderful opportunity as well to socialise with people, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think there's a massive community around gardening and, as you say, allotments and all sorts. And the sharing ethos as well, because you might grow something on your plot and then your neighbour's plot will have something else. And it's that whole community of swapping and sharing veg, but also seeds and hints and tips. So
yes,
it's a great world to be a part of, in my opinion.
Excellent. Well, you've been doing it for so long. Well, clearly it must work for you. So what else has inspired you down the years? You've mentioned, obviously, you've been a keen guitarist. You've come to study here in Cardiff. So are you a solo player, or have you over the years played in bands or duets or trios, whatever it may be?
Well, I've given it all a little bit of a go. I did a bit of a stint as a singer-songwriter and went around doing a few shows and gigs down that route, but also been part of various bands as well. And we've played a couple of little festivals and that sort of thing. It's more of a hobby, but another great hobby to have.
Sure.
The buzz you get, I think, when you're up and entertaining is great fun. So I think all of that side of things and the songwriting and and that is all helping and helping influence towards writing a book, really.
Indeed. So who has been or who have been your inspirations over the years as other guitarists or songwriters, performers and so on? Are there any that have really stood out in your life?
Well, for me, it would be Queen and my favourite band, and Brian May's
right.
guitar work.
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely exceptional. So, he's been the main one for me, I would say.
Got you. Okay, so let's move on to the topic of writing. And you join a very long and illustrious list of people who've joined me to have a chat either in the studio here or on the phone, who have been helped by Candy Jar, our chums here in Cardiff on Newport Road. And of course, their other arm, which is Jelly Bean, another one of their companies. So just tell us a little bit about the backstory about how this particular book, and that we're talking about Gene and the Queen, sort of came together.
Well, this year I've just had a little boy. So
lovely.
We've had many sleepless nights for the last 6 months old now, and so we've had many sleepless nights where he's settling in and that sort of thing. And so. Early hours, one of the mornings, a little idea came to me, and I thought I'd like to try and combine the gardening and children's entertaining, because through the old railway line where I work, we do a lot of children's events. So
yes.
I've done a lot with organising events for children and getting them actively involved in growing and things. So I thought it might be the little link where I can hopefully help to inspire the younger generation to take an interest in the gardening, which is where the idea for Gene and the Queen came from.
Super idea. Okay. So tell us a little bit, without giving too much of the storyline away, about what Gene and the Queen is all about.
Well, Gene is a little bee. She's trying to find her way in the hive. She struggles a little bit compared to the other bees, as she's a little bit smaller and she's got some wonky wings, and so whereas the other bees are able to go out and do the daily tasks quite easily, she finds it quite difficult. So the story takes her on a bit of an adventure, finding her own way and embracing basically who she is, and proving to the rest of the hive that she's able to do the exact same job. And in the end, they all see that she's quite capable of forming and being a big part of the hive.
So clearly, it's telling a story on the one level for children, but there are lots of significant things there, sort of slightly behind the story, as it were, which hopefully the mums and dads or the grandparents that are reading the story to the children, or indeed, obviously, once the children are able to read it for themselves, they're clearly going to be able to ask questions, aren't they, and find out more about this whole thing, about perseverance and teamwork, and how that can be so important in the children's lives.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it will raise a few questions, and the fact also that it introduces them to some of the terms associated with bees, like and introducing them to pollinators and hives, and that sort of stuff. So it's done in a fun, light-hearted story, but hopefully just by hearing those phrases and those terms, it will start to sort of spike an interest and get them looking for a little bit more information, maybe.
Certainly, you can never start children too young in the garden, can you? I mean, I remember back in the day myself, I mean, I used to love getting my little wellies on there and my little children-sized trowel and what have you, and going out and helping mum and dad, whether they were planting bulbs or just doing a bit of general work around the garden. And certainly, I mean, I was always fascinated by the veg plot and the greenhouse and all the sorts of things that we used to grow.
Yeah, I think the garden is a fantastic playground, really, for children, and certainly my little boy has been out and about with me helping with the vegetables and different bits and pieces so far, and so I'm hoping that in a few years to come he'll be showing me what to do in the garden.
Well, who is to say? So with regards to the book, I mean, any good children's book obviously relies very much on the narrative and the really good writing. But the other thing, of course, is if it's a picture book, is the question of the illustration. So in your case, how many sort of illustrations do you have in the book as well?
Well, I've been very lucky. Basically, this is the first time that I've done anything down this sort of route, and I was a bit lost of where to start, but the guys at Candy Jar, Sean and the team, they've been fantastic in guiding me down the right direction and things like that, and they have a fantastic roster of illustrators.
They certainly do.
And so looking through those, I've got to admit it was a hard decision who to pick, but Tom, who's done the illustrations in the book, really stood out for me in his style.
Okay.
So the process was we sent the text out to him with a few little ideas of the sort of direction we wanted the book to go in.
Yes.
And he came straight back with some amazing illustrations, and he really hit the nail on the head, really, with how the bees looked and the sort of background illustrations in the book. And
there's
some lovely honeycomb pieces of artwork in there as well. And lots of flowers and different garden images, which is exactly what I was hoping for. And he's really brought the book to life, really.
Well, that sounds really good. So, I mean, let's give him a proper credit. This is Tom's, and his surname?
Tom Burchell, it is.
Tom Burchell, right. Well, it's good that people know, because we said it really, really does make all the difference in the world, doesn't it, when you feel that you're on the same wavelength with an illustrator, when you're doing a children's book, whatever it may be, or, young adults' books. And it's sort of just, it hopefully it clicks for you, doesn't it? And you just think, yeah, absolutely, I'm really, really happy with this.
Yeah, well, and that was certainly the case in this instance. And I've had a look at his other, he's illustrated quite a few books, and it's all the work he does is incredible, and the style that he's got is lovely. So
yes,
it's definitely worth checking out and having a look at all his different books that he's done, really.
Well, absolutely indeed. So what sort of age range would you be thinking you're pitching the book at? I mean, clearly it's for the relatively young children, but I mean, what did you have in mind when you were actually writing it?
Well, I was hoping for sort of, as I say, it's a new thing to me, but maybe 7 and below. It's a nice rhyming story, so
okay,
hopefully quite easy for children to read by themselves, but also interest right down with the illustrations, right down to early years. As I say, my son's listened to it quite a few times now, and he's only 6 months, but he takes a lot of joy, I think, in looking at the different illustrations in the book at the moment.
Super. Yeah,
especially
yes,
all of these honeycomb parts in there. He's quite mesmerised by those. So I would say sort of 7 and below, and sort of the potential for self-reading and that sort of thing with
lovely,
the book.
Absolutely lovely. So the book is absolutely available now as we speak?
Yeah, available. There's a few places you can get it at the moment. One being the old Railway Line Garden Centre where I work. They've very kindly put it on the shelves there, which is great. Then I've got my own website, which is www.gardeninthecountry.co.uk, where it's available on there.
Mm-hmm.
And also through my Instagram page as well. I'm always available if anyone wants to drop me a message and find out more details about how to get hold of the book through there, and that's at Garden in the Country on Instagram as well.
Excellent. And of course, no doubt Candy Jar and Jelly Bean will have it there on their page as well of their website. So clearly not difficult for people to find out more about it if they want to.
Yes, yeah, hopefully. And as I say, more than approachable if people want to drop me a message and find out a little bit more beforehand.
Yes,
It's been quite nice at the garden centre here. A couple of people have stopped me and chatted to me here at the garden centre. So if you are in and wanted to find out more, just ask and I can pop out and come and say hello.
Absolutely. So give people, I mean, if anybody is out and about, where actually is the garden centre up in Mid Wales? What part of the world are we talking about?
So we're between Brecon and Hay-on-Wye.
Right.
We're about 10 miles outside of Brecon towards Hay-on-Wye.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family-run garden centre. And yeah, we've got all sorts of bits going on here. We're currently working towards our Christmas displays, believe it or not. It's a non-stop thing here. We've just had the spring bulbs and everything in here. So yeah, we've got a lovely restaurant and cafe as well. So yeah, we're just outside of Brecon, and a great stop off if you're heading up through Wales, really.
Well, I must profess, I know the area pretty well, having crisscrossed most of Wales in my working life, and always took a great deal of pleasure in sauntering up to North Wales through Mid Wales, because although there may be quicker routes available, it is just such a beautiful, beautiful part of the world to get up into. And I was saying to people earlier that on the show here that, oh gosh, used to spend so much time up in places like Welsh Pool and Newtown, and then over the other side then towards Aberystwyth and up to Dolgella and so on. We could talk all day. It's a beautiful part of the world, and obviously Brecon and Hay-on-Wye, again, absolutely spot on. I mean, it's got everything that tourists would want, hasn't it?
It's a very lovely area. It's obviously the River Wye as well, running through the countryside here, and we've got all of the mountain ranges around, so plenty to do up this end here. And with Hay on the doorstep, obviously, the town of Bucks, Hay-on-Wye.
Yes, absolutely, so that.
Ideally located here for launching a book as well, which I'm hoping they do the big Hay Festival there each year. So I'm hoping that there may be
an slot
there to pop along and bump into people, maybe.
That would be really good. So talking about the future, are there more books planned?
Well, I've certainly had a few sleepless nights with my young boy, and so there are a few ideas which I do have penned in. I think this book has already exceeded my expectations with the reaction that it's had from people reading it, and I'm very grateful with the comments it's had. So, there are other ideas in the pipeline, and I think I'm just happy to see how this one goes at the moment. And if people are looking for another one, then hopefully I can put one together.
I must say, certainly, Matt, that I think you're the first person that I've interviewed on the show who has been talking about a book that he or she has done. But you must be, I think, the first person who has said, well, the origins of it all came back to a newborn baby and being awake in the middle of the night and thinking, I'm clearly not going to get any sleep, so what else can I do apart from rock the cradle? And the answer is, write a book.
I think it exactly happened like that. It was one of those, just a random night up in the middle of the night, and the idea came to me, and hopefully there'll be a couple more happen the same way.
Super. Well, tell you what, before we say cheerio, would you just please give us a quick run through again of where people can find out the information? So if you've got the details there of your website again, and any other contact details that you'd like to give, please feel free, let us know them one more time.
Brilliant. Well, certainly through Candy Jar themselves, they're very friendly, very helpful, and all the information should be there on their website. And then I've got my own website, gardeninthecountry.co.uk, where there's a bit of information about myself there. I do a few gardening blogs, and also the book is available on there. And then through my Instagram page, at gardeninthecountry, where, again, I do a lot of gardening content. I've got two little dash outs, so we do some funny little videos on there as well.
Super.
All of the information for the book is on there as well.
Well, there we are. Well, time has pretty much beaten us, as it usually does when we get nattering with people on the phone. But Matt, thank you so much for joining me this morning on Radio Cardiff, here to talk about the book. I will certainly let people know all the details once again in the last half an hour of the show. But in the meantime, let me wish you happy gardening, and hopefully we can pop along one day and on our way from Brecon to Hay or vice versa, call in, have a cup of tea and come and say hello in person.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you very much. It's been lovely to chat to you on here, and hopefully one day I'll see you here at the centre.
Super stuff. Thank you so much for that, Matt. Take it easy.